Well, good morning out there, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. This is Tuesday, December 1st, 2015, and you are listening to the KRFY Morning Show. And I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts here this morning, and good morning over there, Mr. Bessler.
Hi, I'm Chris Bessler, your co-host. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning. It's nice to see you back, or it's nice to have myself back here anyways.
I was gone last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have special guests. We have a whole bunch of people coming in. But first, we have Alice Wallace and Debbie Love from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And we're very happy to have you both here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Debbie and Alice. And before we get to our interview to find out how this service organization meets the needs of our community here in Bonner County in North Idaho, let's hear a little bit about the weather and a few other things that Chris will offer. Okay.
I'll throw out nothing. Okay. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking as well with the Sandpoint Lions Club, a couple of representatives from the Sandpoint Lions Club about the Toys for Tots campaign that's just gotten underway. Another big charitable enterprise here in our community. So that's our focus today, is on charitable happenings here in Sandpoint.
Yep, to meet our community needs. And from the National Weather Service, they're telling us that right now it's 23 degrees out. Today we have a weather advisory. It's called Air Stagnation Advisory. And I'm not exactly sure, but you can kind of feel it in the air. It's very heavy, kind of foggy. Today's high is 25. Occasional flurries. Northwest winds 3 to 5 miles per hour. Tonight, snow mainly after 4 a.m., low around 21. Light east winds and chance of precipitation is 80%, but only about less than a half inch of new snow accumulation possible. Wednesday, snow before 10 a.m., and then the high, so that's a 90% chance, turning into 50% chance in the afternoon. We have a high Wednesday of 30 and a low Wednesday night of 30. So it sounds like more air stagnation to me. Mm-hmm. Anyways, thank you for the weather. There you go.
Well, to follow up a little bit on the air stagnation question, that happens when we get a high pressure ridge that sits over the area. And right now I'm looking at the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality. They have a real-time monitoring page, and our air quality is rated as moderate. So when it gets worse than that, it's called unhealthy for sensitive groups, and then unhealthy, very unhealthy, hazardous. So we're a long way off from that. But if the air high pressure system sticks around, then the air quality will worsen. We tend to trap, gas fumes from cars, smoke from wood stoves, and so on this time of year.
Is that considered an air inversion?
I don't know quite enough about that. Other things going on outside, the sunrise this morning was at 7:15 a.m. Sunset tonight will be at 3:54 p.m. And we're at that time of year where we're losing daylight every day, and we've lost about 16 minutes of daylight in the past week. But we're coming up on the shortest day of the year pretty soon. It's December 22nd is the winter solstice. So in just a couple weeks, every day is going to start getting longer. That's actually 3 weeks out. Also outside, the moon is waning now. It's past full moon. We have the last quarter moon Thursday. The new moon will be on the 11th. And guess what? On Christmas Day, we have a full moon.
Oh, my goodness. The last full moon just on Thanksgiving was beautiful.
It was beautiful, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of neat. At Schweitzer, there's no new snow in the last 72 hours, but they have 22 inches on top and 13 inches mid-mountain. And they have been making snow. They had for the weekend. The mountain was open. And I heard there are a lot of people up there. So only the midway run was open, but people were enjoying that. So skiers, there is hope for you. And actually, as you said, we might have some more snow coming. The lake level is now 2051.25 feet. It's just about exactly where it was last week. Is kind of just a little bit, and it's where it's going to be for probably pretty much the rest of the winter, the low pool it's going to be at. Yeah, they just finished the K&K Fishing Derby. The winners, the top rainbow caught was 20.1 pounds. So they had a good derby. They had a lot of big fish that were being caught up there in the 20-pound range. Had to be over at least 15 pounds to be in the standings for maybe getting a prize. And what else is going on around town, Susie?
Let's see. Well, I know they lit the tree down there in
That's right.
The Jones.
That's right. On Friday, the Jeff Jones Town Square, they had the tree lighting.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Even coming in here this morning at 6:50, it was still a little bit dark, and it was so pretty. And the downtown looks beautiful. And I was just thinking about the fact that we have such great places to shop, and buying local is such a wonderful thing for our community. So I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, actually, and I was just walking in, coming through the downtown today, I noticed a bunch of the stores are having special deals for Christmas. So if you're going to be shopping, take a look at the local stores as a great alternative with not just good, unique merchandise, but good pricing right now for the season as well. Other things that are coming up this week, there's going to be a food bank fundraiser. That's a fun one. It's coming up tomorrow at the Idaho Poor Authority. I guess we can talk a little bit more about that when we start talking about the food bank. Susie, anything else you want to throw out there?
You know, we're going to get to the community calendar of events coming up that we get from Sandpoint Online. But I'd really like to get to the Bonner Community Food Bank and find out how Thanksgiving went, what response you had. Did you meet the needs of our community? Were we able to rally for that special holiday, and what's coming up besides your fundraising events too? So Alice Wallace.
Well, we had a great Thanksgiving. This year we tried it a little different. We had done this in the past, but then we got away from it and we went back to it this year, dividing the alphabet up so that as many came in on Monday as would on Tuesday, because usually Monday is just crazy because everybody that comes in just knows there isn't going to be enough for them. So they have to get there early and, you know, fight for a place in line or whatever. So this year it was just very calm, no problems at all. We had plenty of turkeys. We ended up with 834 turkeys donated. We had 850 people sign up for the turkeys. And lots of people will sign up just to make sure that they have dinner, but then they're invited someplace or they go to a function that has dinner, want to be with a number of people. And so we actually had 675 pickup turkeys.
Oh, so you had more?
So actually, we had extra turkeys. Mm-hmm. We have extra turkeys right now. So as soon as we get things straightened out, it's just really a mess at the food bank right now. But that's great because it's food that's in the way. So as soon as that gets straightened out, then we'll just start giving them out or wait until closer to Christmas when some people don't bother going to Toys for Tots because maybe it's just mom and dad and they just need the turkey dinner. They don't need the toys and they leave that for someone else. The other great thing that's coming up too is we get you the old days and the old days for us old folks. We remember when there used to be commodities from the U.S. government. So now all those commodities are run through the food bank. And starting next week when we pick up our load in Coeur d'Alene, it has frozen hams, canned chicken, and I think there was frozen chicken hindquarters or something like that also. So that's so great because meat is the biggest thing that we have a problem with getting enough of. So that'll be great. We'll have hams to also give out for Thanksgiving or for Christmas if they would like one.
So Alice, when you say that you give out turkeys and a Thanksgiving dinner, what does the box or the group of food look like that a family might receive at Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Debbie's going to tell you about it.
Sure. So our food bank has a unique way of doing it. They line up and then they come through. And what we do is when they check in, we look at what size of family they have in the household. So from 1 to 12, and they actually get to go through a line and pick items that they would like. And some of the offerings that we had was pumpkin, cranberries, stuffing, all the fixings, mashed potatoes, yams. And if they didn't want that or they had already had that, then they wouldn't take it. Mm-hmm. So.
Would they also receive things to say, make a pumpkin pie, flour, butter, things like that?
That was out on the shelf where they could shop
okay
beforehand. We also this year offered mushroom soup, so if they wanted to do the green bean casserole thing. They also had some chicken soup, so they could add that to some turkey leftovers to do whatever they wanted to. There was some bags of pasta out in the market that they could get to make like a chicken noodle soup or something like that. We also this year, the last 2 years, we had 2-pound bags of blueberries from Maine that were part of the USDA commodity program. This year we had frozen cherries, so we saved those so they could use them either as a relish type thing or a pie or whatever they wanted to make. So we had a very good variety.
So how did the numbers of folks help this year compared to previous years?
You know, they were down all over. They were down for us by about 200 to 300. And in Spokane, we noticed that they collected for 11,000 and they had 7,500. So for some reason, they were down. Now, you know, a lot of people, a lot of organizations, churches and everything are doing things now that they didn't used to do. So some of our numbers might have gone there. But to me, it shows that they're down somewhat, which is great.
Which is good. That means more folks probably have gotten jobs.
Hope it doesn't work me out of a job. But
unfortunately, I don't think that's going to
be a problem. I don't think that's going to happen.
I wonder if you see trends, Alice, over and Debbie, over a period of years when the economy is low, the need is more.
Sure.
And really, the economy is recovering.
It's better than it has been, yes.
Unemployment is only at 5% now, so which is actually pretty good for nation.
Is there a pretty direct correlation that you see when the economy's down? Of course, there's more people in need. Is there a correlation with the giving, though, since that's a harder time for people to give as well?
2009, we hit our max that we've ever had for donations, and that was right in the middle of the big downfall. So I think for our area, people see that. We have such a giving area that I think people see that. They know the numbers are up for us, and so they're the amount. And it's amazing to watch. You know, I've been there long enough that I've watched people. They'll start giving $5 a month or $10, and it will raise some of them up to $100, $200 a month now. So we like to be right out there so that people know what we're doing and what the needs are. And I think that's made a big difference for the food bank.
Now, folks can, some of the stores I know have programs where they'll have a bag of food that they can buy and donate to the food bank.
And that was big this year. We have bins that are, I think they're 3 by 3 by 3 foot deep. And we've got 3 or 4 of those sitting there of those bags.
Are all the grocery stores, the big grocery stores on board?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Walmart doesn't, but Walmart just doesn't bag it up. They just give it to us. Mm-hmm. And we also, you know, got a $35,000 grant from Walmart this year, which was unbelievable.
Must be helpful, yeah.
And how did that help you? What exactly?
It goes into our food budget. Mm-hmm. Our food budget is big because, you know, after the holidays, things kind of settle down. And so I do end up buying quite a lot of, usually about $100,000 worth of food that I buy each year.
So besides donation of food at these special times during the holiday season, you really do look for donations of cash from individuals on a regular basis.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then you have fundraisers.
And we do.
So what kind of needs do you see coming into Christmas? You know, at Thanksgiving, everybody thinks turkey.
Right.
But you mentioned you do ham as well.
We do. We don't do a big deal like we do for Thanksgiving because we leave that to the Lions Club. And every year I say I'm going to go over to the Lions Club and help them hand out, and every year something comes up. But I am going this year to help them hand stuff out. Our drive right now is to match families for Christmas. We have one family that he was just injured quite badly. Don't know whether he'll ever be able to work again. And they have 3 or 4 children, and we want to do for Christmas for them. We have about 4 families right now, but as the month goes on, more will ask us to help them out. So we're looking for families to match up with these families. It's our Christmas match program.
Okay. So, and that's like my family could say, hey, food bank, we want to help another family.
Right. And we have the application that the family has filled out, gives their sizes and their ages and all that, so that you can take this list and you can meet them if they want to or not. Usually the gifts are brought to the food bank and we distribute them. We end up usually with 10 to 15 families that need help. Mm-hmm. And then the county comes in and they have a giving tree and they ask us to find families for them also. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things we work on. We just finished up with the Coats for Kids program that we put out a lot of coats this year through the food bank. Our clients seem to be the ones, you know, that really need the help on them. And so we had a lot of cute coats for the kids. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Love seeing that.
It sounds like you have a lot of activity this time of year. And what is the volunteer need for the...
We always need volunteers because there is some burnout. Volunteers mm-hmm. burn out. And so we always like to get new volunteers coming in. And we were talking about this yesterday. Jim stopped by and he wanted to know about the need for volunteers. So there's a number of things that people do. Some of it is cleaning. You know, just cleaning up the bathrooms and that type of stuff that we all do. There's sorting food, which right now there's a big issue on that. And then always stocking, you know, when you have 100 families a day coming in to get help, a lot goes off the shelf. So they need to be, because it's set up. Have you ever been by, Jim?
Chris,
that's I'm okay. Sorry.
I've been by the old location, okay. But I haven't been to the new location.
You need to come to the new location. It's. Have you been there, Susie?
I'm planning on it.
Okay. It's in your to-do list. Well, I'd love to have you come by and we'll show you either Debbie or I will go through with you. It's set up just like a small supermarket. And so all those shelves need to be stocked. I remember the first night after we had opened, the very first night, and it's like, who's going to stock these shelves? We had them all filled. And it's like, uh-oh, never thought of that part. But the volunteers do it all day long and then first thing in the morning. So it works somehow.
And so to clarify, the location is 1707 Culver's Drive.
Right, yes, right behind the big UPS building.
Near the airport.
Near the airport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And does that location have more square footage than the old
location? Oh, it's twice as big as our old location. Mm-hmm. We still push at the walls sometimes, but it's a great location. Yeah, great.
Plenty of parking. Does the spot bus go out there?
Not yet. You?
That would be probably
but
a good
But I think
thing.
In 16. Okay. I've visited with Cliff Warren. He and I have talked about it, and at least once or twice a week to have the spot bus come by.
Is there It'd a stop even nearby on Boyer?
Lincoln or? School, the okay. old Lincoln Alternative
okay.
School.
Okay, so it's a good walk then.
Yeah,
if
it
you're
is.
Trying to get there. Mm-hmm. Do you have some folks coming by bus that do use the spot bus?
You know,
bus
you can make an appointment, and we have had some families make an appointment to have the bus bring them, leave them for about 45 minutes, and then come back. No, I think they've pretty much depended on other people bringing them. We do have one gentleman that walks the Long Bridge
from Sagal
once a week.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
I wonder if there's a community service organization that could, you know, match people up with drive.
That'd be great.
Cars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from Sagal, that's probably outside the spot bus.
Yeah.
Because they do have a call and pickup service, as you had mentioned.
He, like for his Thanksgiving box, he got a ride with somebody else that was coming. And then, you know, there's always somebody else that they know is coming and they make arrangements. But lots of times in the summer, he walked across that bridge
mm-hmm.
as a backpack to take his stuff back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Debbie, just because you're new at the Bonner Community Food Bank, what are you doing over there these days besides being Alice's right-hand gal?
Yeah, I'm her Velcro buddy. No, I'm really enjoying it. Alice and I are getting along very well. We're having a good time. But what I do is I do the interviews with the clients, the new clients that come in. I also am sort of the volunteer coordinator. I work with John, our warehouse manager, as well. And just kind of keeping the flow of the clients coming in and through the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so if folks do need help, what's the process to get help?
They'll come in. We do a 10 to 15 minute interview. We ask for proof of residency from Bonner County. also a photo ID and proof of income. So
do you have problems with people from outside the area, or kind of anybody trying to cheat the system? Does that happen? No.
You know, once in a while, but they know that we're affiliated with the Priest River Food Bank, so there's one in their area to use, and it has all the same stuff. That was a big problem to begin with, is people just didn't think they had good food up there. They don't have stuff like you do. Well, we make sure that they have the same thing we do, so that they've got plenty of food. There's, you know, once in a while there'll be somebody, but, you know, we explain to them that, you know, everybody needs to use one food bank. And if you need something more, let us know. Lots of times we'll have families with children that, you know, most teenagers have an empty leg somewhere there that just can't be filled. And they will ask for extra points so that they can spend them in the market and get more food. We have no problem with that.
Well, you have an event coming up, obviously. I just want to remind our listeners before we get into this fundraising event that's coming up that this is 88.5 KRFY, and we are here with the morning show with Chris and Susie, and our guests today right now are Alice Wallace and Debbie Love from the Bonner Community Food Bank, and we're talking about our wonderful service organizations, and especially this one right now, that are really looking to see what the needs of our community are. During the holiday season. And before we get into the fundraiser, volunteers, we've talked about volunteers, are people giving actual cash to keep the food bank. $100,000 you spend a year on food, that takes a lot of money. Revenue, you need revenue coming in too. What is the number and how do they reach you?
Our phone number is 208-263-3663, which is 263-FOOD. And our address is 1707 Culver's Drive, Sandpoint. And as for volunteers, I don't want anyone to think that, you know, they can't handle big armloads of stuff. Or if they want to come in, we have a lady 94 years old that comes in and gets bags from us. And then she goes over to the bridge and we tell people she irons the plastic bags. Because they take them out and they're all just as smooth as can be, just like new bags. So she has found something she can do to offer us, and it's such a blessing to have those all ready when people come in. We ask our clients to bring their own bags. We're trying to get them to get reusable bags. And so if they bring their own bags, they get a point added to their shopping. At the first of the year, we have to have proof of income for the next year. So we're going to offer everyone that brings their proof of income in January, they'll get 10 extra points for the month, which goes quite a ways when, you know, stuff, the max anything can cost is like 5 points, I think. So anybody can help us. They don't have to be young. They just need to be young at heart and want to get out and work with a bunch of crazy people.
What are the hours people normally are coming in?
9 to 3. We're there 9 to 3. We're there from 8 to 3, but volunteers start at 9. And we get, when they fill out their application to come in, they mark when they want to be there. They can be there a day. They can be there a half day. They can be there a couple hours in a day. Some people, you know, can't come in and stay for a long period of time. And then on Wednesdays, we do the backpack program for the kids that need food for over the weekend. So we're doing 365 of those a week now. That's a big project. We enlarge that with the help of Food for Our Children. They donate to us, and they pay for the extra ones we put on this year. But we have all but two schools covered now with the backpack program, which is a big project. We do that every week, get that out.
And the Food for Our Children is a new organization. Help specifically get food for young folks.
Just out of curiosity, do these backpacks go out for the weekend on Friday, I would imagine? Do you get the same backpacks back?
No.
So they are a backpack.
They were called a backpack to begin with. And when the ladies first started the program here in Sandpoint, they did go to Gap, and they gave them 360 backpacks. But it's pretty hard to always get those back. Some organizations that do the backpack program have told the kids, you don't bring it back, you don't get your food. Which, you know, if you get them trained, that's one thing, but it's hard to train us old people, let alone little kids. Yeah. And so ours is in a bag, so it's really a bag, but the backpack started the program, so we
you still call it the backpack program.
I'm not going to call it the plastic bag program.
Great program, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we buy those already made from Second Harvest. And then when we get them, we go through to make sure because sometimes something will break and it will get bad in there. So we go through all of them. And then we add some things to it. We always put string cheese in it because the kids like that, a good protein. And then John loves kids. There isn't a kid there that leaves without a goodie bag that he has made up. And so he finds things that come in. We might get, one day we've got 2,300 pounds of licorice. Now, that isn't something the kids really need, but, you know, once a month or once every 2 months, they could have a package
something
of
as
licorice.
A treat.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So he finds things that he can keep. John's a great guy. He's been with me for 4 years now.
So where does 300 pounds of licorice come from?
2,300 pounds? That came from Walmart.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
It's amazing. Some of the stuff that will get delivered to different stores is something they don't handle. Yeah. And so they have no place. It's not in their computer. Mm-hmm. They have no place to put it on the floor. And it's easier just to give it to the food bank.
Yeah.
So once these backpacks are filled back up on Wednesday, you do that, or these bags, how do you distribute them back to the schools?
Yes.
And then they the teachers hand them out to the children.
There's two teachers at Farm and Stidwell. You remember when Mac Holland did his bike ride to to Alaska? Mm-hmm. He's one of the teachers that really pushed to get it. And so he comes over on Thursday afternoon, I believe, and gets it. Someone from Southside School comes, picks theirs up, and we deliver to the other schools.
Okay.
And okay, we are going to be hitting a song break here in just a minute, and then we're going to be talking with folks from the Toys for Tots campaign being put on right now by the Lions Club. But you do have a fundraiser coming up. And, you know, I think fundraisers probably pop up in this town. Maybe you're not even always aware of them.
like this one?
There's a fundraiser tomorrow night at Idaho Poor Authority. They're hosting a Stone Brewing fundraiser, they're calling that. And it's going to benefit the Bonner Community Food Bank. So it's a pretty easy way to do a little bit of charitable work. You go, you have have a beer, and part of the proceeds will go to the food bank. And that's at the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 to 8 p.m. Tomorrow. And they're located right on Cedar Street.
And they're going to have a drop box for food donations.
Oh, great.
Looks like. So you can bring something to give, tangible evidence of giving, and enjoy the Stone Brewing beer, because part of those proceeds go to the food bank. Are you going to have any raffles or things?
That's what they've done in the past, so I'll call him today and see if he needs a couple things, because I can go around and get.
Usually it's something from the Poor Authority, too, some of their bling.
Yeah. Right. Well, Alice Wallace and Debbie Love from the Bonner Community Food Bank, thank you for coming in today.
You're more than welcome, and thank you.
And good luck with this season and 2016 as well.
I have one more Thanksgiving to do, and then I'm retired.
That's it.
Oh, no, that's
and then
right.
You can come over here and help
there
us.
You go. I'll be a radio person.
Absolutely. You have a good voice. You could
Debbie,
do that.
Debbie's going to step in.
You're grooming for that position.
Yes, I am. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What a wonderful organization.
She'll be great. She'll be great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all the
hard
work you do.
Thank you, Susie, Chris.
Okay. And this is a song. We're going to hear a little song and then come back with our Lions Club Toys for Tot people. This is Bette Midler, One Fine Day, and the reason is today is Bette Midler's birthday.
Okay.
She was born in 1944. She's 71 years old.
Oh,
so
wow.
Happy birthday, Miss, what is she called, Miss Divine?
Miss Divine, that's
it. And in 2014, she came out with an album, and it was, it's the girls' album, and this is One Fine Day. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And that was Bette Midler, One Fine Day. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show. And it is Bette Midler's 71st birthday today, so happy birthday, Miss Divine. And we are here in the studios for the morning show. We have our second group of guests. We have Judy Dabrowski. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
And John Causey.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. And you're both from the Lions Club, and you're here to talk about the Toys for Tot and the food boxes for this holiday season.
That's correct.
And so I think everybody in town is probably a little familiar with Toys for Tots, but go ahead and tell us what Toys for Tots is about.
Toys for Tots is a program that is run by the Sandpoint Lions Club in this community. Everything that's donated to the program stays in the community. We have, and in case you have been blind and haven't seen coin jars all over town, we have boxes for people to drop off toys if they would like to. And we always have, would love to have you donate by check. Mm-hmm. You can send it to us in the mail in our to our post office box, or you can you can drop it at the Daily Bee, or you can drop them at either one of the Panhandle banks, either in town or out in Ponderay.
And all the proceeds go to buy toys, gifts for children that would otherwise possibly be going without a gift this Christmas.
That's right. They go to the toys and to a food drive that we also have. We give away approximately 450 boxes containing food and milk, bread. There's ham, meat in there, and some canned vegetables. And that really sort of completes, in addition to the toys, sort of completes the whole package that we give away every year.
To make Christmas for families.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Judy, you mentioned that checks in the mail work just fine, and you can send them to your P.O. box. What do you know that number? Okay, John's looking it up.
I can tell you, it's P.O. box 414, Sandpoint, and then it's 83864, of course, is the P.O.
Okay, so it's 414, and that would be to the Lions.
Yes, to the Lions Club.
Thanks for saving me.
And of course, you can drop it at the Daily Bee. The Daily Bee has for many years been a big supporter. They put the little thermometer on the front page to show the how the donations are going. And what is the goal this year?
Well, as it was last year, it'll be $50,000 again this year. That allows us to have toys for somewhere between 800 and 1,000 kids. And we generally have food boxes that feed about 1,600 people. So it's a big program. And the Sandpoint community has always been wonderful and has managed to come up with the money, which is just awesome. That means that we don't have to scrape on any of our programs.
That's great.
This is really the driving point behind this, is that it's all volunteer, the whole program. There's no paid staff at the Lions Club. And we have approximately 25 members. And without that volunteer resource stepping up to box the food, to gather the food, to do the fundraising, to get the word out, coming to places like KRFY so that we can get the word out, to let people know that this is a program that's here in town and it benefits the community directly. So when you give a dollar to the program, it goes right to where you want the dollar to go. It doesn't go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So how do people sign up if they need a hand this year?
Well, we're doing signups right now through the 18th of December, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the Lions Club Den will be open to take signups from 9 until 4:30, and that's on South Ella right next to the museum. They can also go into Health and Welfare, and they have applications there that they can fill out, and then we pick them up there. So there's two places that they can go to sign up.
Mm-hmm. And then when you schedule days for people to come get their food or their toys?
Yes, we do two pickup days. And what we do is we just split the alphabet in half. And in order to, in all fairness, one year we have the last half of the alphabet go first. And then we flip it the next year. So if you went first last year, you're not going to go on the first day this year. And our program is run a little differently than a lot of programs, in that people, the parents of the children, actually get to come into the Lion's Den. We have a toy room there, which is like going to Walmart, mm-hmm. and they get to shop and pick out the toys that their kids will like for Christmas.
Oh,
so we get to involve the whole family in the process.
Yeah, and it's a little more customized for the interests of their children rather than just taking a guess that they might like a new doll or fire truck or something.
That's correct. We can't possibly know what every child is interested in, and so this we have a selection of games, toys, you know, remote control cars, science kits, microscopes, you name it. We've got them in there, and people who, you know, will know what their children want, and then they come in and are able to select what they can, you know, what they want.
John, you talked a little bit about the fact that you have, what, 25 members that work on this?
Yes.
Do you need other volunteers to help during this time of year?
We always need members all year round, for not only for this program, but we also do a sight and hearing program where we test all the students in the Pend'Oreille School District. And we need volunteers for that. We need volunteers year round for the 4th of July celebration that takes place here, the kids' parade in the morning, the grand parade, and the fireworks at night. That's all volunteer. That's all put on by fundraising and volunteer efforts from the Lions Club and a lot of other programs that we do every year. But we definitely need members, people to step up and who want to volunteer in the community directly. If you're looking for an organization, I'm new to this organization, only been here for about a year now. And I looked around for an organization or a club where you could really participate and get that direct connection, that direct feedback where you show up and you do some work and you get sort of a direct benefit to yourself. You feel good that you actually did something. Sometimes it's hard and sort of ambiguous to get that. And the Lions Club is definitely not your grandparents' organization if you're sort of on the fence about what you should do or where you should go to with your free time or your money. This is definitely the club to come to volunteer to help out.
It's very hands-on.
Very much so.
Yeah. So Judy, I'm curious, how did you get involved with the Lions Club?
Well, I'm one of those rare critters in Sandpoint. I'm a native.
What?
I was actually born in Sandpoint, went to high school here. And so when my husband and I moved back to the area in 2001 and we were looking for a program to, you know, to volunteer to help the community, I just sort of said, now, when I was growing up, the organization that was doing everything was the Lions Club. So that's where we're going. I said, I remember them doing all, you know, helping build the beach and all of the different programs that they had, the 4th of July. And I said, well, that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So that's where we ended up. And I kind of dragged him along. So we're there together.
Yeah, and Lions Club definitely has a long history in the community. You mentioned that the Lions Club actually helped, you know, build the city beach the way that we know it today.
That was one of their early programs. That was back in the Lions Club was chartered into Sandpoint in 1953. And one of their first programs that they did was the city beach. And then as they were looking for more community programs to take over, they started doing the 4th of July. And they also then in the late 60s, took over from a lady who, I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, but she was in town doing a toys program for children at Christmas, and the Lions Club in the late 60s took that over, and that's when they started the Toys for Tots program here. Mm-hmm.
The old members used to refurbish toys and give them away. It's really interesting to go into the club and see some of the photographs and the history and talk to some of the members who have been there for a while about how the program started and how it sort of evolved. There's also photographs in there of members in the 60s building the tennis courts down at City Beach in the gazebo. It's interesting to see, you know, sort of the evolution of how that all came about.
Mm-hmm. This is a little bit of a segue because we're talking about the Lions Club, but you obviously need support for the Toys for Tots campaign as well as the other things you do.
We do. And for the community volunteers, we have a couple of places where we really like the community to come in and help. One of them is on December the 18th at 10 a.m. at the Lion's Den. We'll be getting, is it one truck or two of food?
One truck.
We have one big truck of food coming in that day that we have to unload into the Lion's Den to get ready, we set it up. And then on Saturday, the 19th at 6 p.m., we encourage community members to come in and help us box the food. So we have kind of a conveyor belt system set up where the food passes by and the boxes go by and you put your food into it. So we get all the boxes loaded the same. So that's a couple of areas that the community is.
That could be not a huge commitment that you're going to do things for days and days, but rather come help on these days and spend 2 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours. I don't know how long you guys work at it to get the job done.
And if you don't want to do any heavy lifting, you just want to eat, you can go to the Hoot Owl on December 11th from 4 to 7. They're having a spaghetti feed, and all the proceeds go to Toys for Tots. So there you can just show up and buy dinner and eat something, and you're helping out.
And that's a really great program that the Hoot Owl has done for us for many, many years. They donate all the food, they donate all their time, and the restaurant, and the waitresses donate their tips. The whole thing goes to Toys for Tots.
No kidding. Wow.
I bet they have a lot of fun over there, too.
It's always a good time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Hoot Owl's not real big. Do they have trouble getting people in and out? I mean, I would hope that a lot of people are interested in coming to eat on the 11th at the spaghetti feed.
Tell them to come on out. They'll cram you in.
They'll get you in.
We'll find you a spot.
They'll work it out. Yeah, so you have a lot going on working up to this distribution of the food boxes and the Toys for Tot event. One question I have, you mentioned it's like a shopping center. You go in and you really pick out specific toys for your child, and it's really nice for the parents to just not get a box of, well, we can't even use that, 25 different teddy bears or whatever. Where do you buy your toys and where do they come from?
Well, we buy most of them locally. And we do different at different times during the year. And actually, we shop different times during the year. We shop sales. Mm-hmm. A lot of the businesses here in town give us discounts on toys, which is wonderful. So we can use our money wisely. And so all through the year, we're just shopping, squirreling away little toys. You know, it's like John comes in and goes, oh, Star Wars is going to be big this year. So we're out trying to buy Star Wars stuff.
You know? You have to keep current. Yeah.
You actually can get some of that classic Star Wars stuff from the 70s and
bring back to retro. Yeah, for sure. Right.
Tell the parents to dig in their closets for it. So are you in charge of the shopping year round?
No, I am not in charge. Okay. This year, I am in charge of the Toys for Tots program. But we have Bill Lewis, who has been our toy buyer for a number of years, who is in charge of finding our bargains and getting our toys for us, and he does a wonderful job. We have Della Kenworthy is actually in charge of our toy room, and she's the lady that takes over when Bill's done, and she puts the toys on the shelf and gets them all situated and has them arranged so that people can find what they want. And then she's in charge of the volunteers for the day when they come in and do the toy buy. So it's a lot of work, and it's a huge effort for the whole club. John this year was in charge of the food. So, you know, there's just a lot of people out there doing a lot of things to bring this together.
Yeah. And of course, individuals can support this by simply donating via the program that goes on through the Daily Bee. You can donate right at the Daily Bee, drop a check off there, or mail it to P.O. Box 414 in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Yes.
And any kind of donation is welcome.
Any kind is welcome. Yesterday, Myla from Roxy's turned in $750.
Wow.
It's a program that she loves, and she has been working on it since October to come up with money for Toys for Tots. So everybody in the community is giving as much as they can, and that's always a wonderful thing.
And you have a big goal, though, a lofty goal.
Well, Sandpoint High School is our biggest supporter. Rah-rah Sandpoint.
Go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs.
Yeah, they have been for the last several years our biggest contributors.
The kids.
The kids at Sandpoint High School. Yes.
Well, good for them.
I just want to go over one more time the different things that are coming up, leading up to the big distribution. On the December 11th, you have a spaghetti feed at the Hoot Owl, and all proceeds go to the Toys for Tot program that's sponsored by the Lions Club. And December 18th is you could use volunteers to unload the food truck. And on the 19th, you could use volunteers starting at 6 p.m., to load up the food boxes.
That's correct.
There you go.
And year-round, you can use folks that are interested in becoming part of the Lions Club on a more permanent basis.
We would absolutely love for more people to join the club. It would mean that we could distribute out the work a little bit more.
Many hands make light work.
That's correct.
It's important.
Has the Lions Club had larger memberships in the past? Does it? Because I know a lot of service organizations with the changing demographics and cultural changes, I guess, they're struggling to do these types of things now.
That's true. And in the past, it was a larger organization. I think they probably hit their peak in the like 70s and 80s, back when they were doing the beach barbecue, which we hear about all the time. but they I think at one point they had over 100 members, and now we're down to 25. We would like to see that 100 again.
Yes. And John, as you mentioned, it's a very worthwhile place to be putting your time.
For sure. It definitely is. I can't begin to tell you the personal benefit that I've gotten from just, coming in and giving your time. It gives you a great feeling of being able to serve your community. And really, that's the motto of the Lions Club, is we serve. And, I sort of wish it had a different name other than Lions Club, because it's kind of confusing when people hear it. They say, what is that?
Mm-hmm. And, it's fraternal organization.
Right. And, it kind of has, sort of a voodoo quality about it. People think, well, I don't want to get involved in that.
Younger people think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can be speaking from my age group. For sure. People think when I say Lions Club, they think, boy, what is that? Mm-hmm. Where is that? Mm-hmm. But, it really is. It's the backbone of and it's so, under the radar, I've noticed the Lions Club really trying to increase and change that and bring it more, social media to the forefront. You can follow us on Twitter at Sandpoint Lions or like us on Facebook.
And you have a Facebook page, Sandpoint Lions Club, and where you're active posting things. I see he's posted something just in the last day. That's where you can grab information about the program.
For sure.
So if somebody is interested in joining, what kind of time commitment would you expect from somebody to be a productive member?
We have meetings twice a month, which is not required that you attend all, but some. And we have two large focuses where it's kind of labor intense. One is Toys for Tots, which we're doing right now. The other one is the 4th of July. And so during those 2 months, it's not an all-time job for everybody, but there's days that people have to be committed to be there and to help with the programs. So, and just as a note, the Lions Club International, which we are part of, is the largest service organization in the world.
No kidding.
And they do glasses, hearing aids, and all over the world.
Are you involved in those sort of things as well as a local chapter?
We are, yeah. We do the sight and hearing program here in town. And
we collect glasses, glasses, and they are then taken to a distribution center in Spokane where they're checked, and then they're sent on to another distribution center where then they get sent overseas for people to use.
Right.
And we have the Sight Dog program as a national program where all the clubs donate to the Sight Dog program, and then they train dogs for blind people. We have, I can't even remember all of them. the disaster, there's a program that where we go in and help with, after natural disasters. Any Lions Club in the nation, if their town has a national disaster has a disaster, they can call for help or aid from the Lions Club.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just about time. We've been here in the studio. We are here in the studio with Judy Dabrowski and John Causey from the Lions Club, and we're talking about the Toys for Tot and Food Box program this time of year. So really two things. Get involved. You have a $50,000 goal for the Toys for Tot program and the Food Box program for this year. You're working towards it. You can send money. You can give money at various locations throughout town, and also go to the Spaghetti Feed at the Hoot Owl on the 11th. Or join the Lions Club. I have a feeling you have fun there.
We do.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And really, thank you for having this service organization and for your service to that organization to bring the quality to meet the needs of our community.
thank you very much for having us. And I just want to remind everyone, if anyone out there needs help this Christmas, please come in and sign up and for our program.
Mm-hmm. Don't be shy. Come down and see us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take a musical break, and Chris and I'll come back for the KRFY 88.5 morning show with the community calendar. And right now we're going to hear a song, though. This is from the Supremes, I Hear a Symphony. This was the number one song in 1966, I think. I forgot to write down the year, but I think that's what it was. So here's the Supremes, I Hear a Symphony. Come back, we'll be here. And thank you, Judy and John.
Thank you.
And that was the Supremes, I Hear a Symphony, this morning on the KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And Chris, what's going on in town? That there's always so much going on in this town.
There's always a lot going on in town. And, of course, we're coming up on the Christmas Day now. There's a lot of local shopping opportunities that are happening. I thought I'd throw a few of those out. There's a women's shopping night that's happening at a whole bunch of stores downtown that occurs on Friday. Retailers will be offering in-store events and complimentary gift wrapping and special deals. There's also a free first Saturday and holiday at the shopping event at the Bonner County History Museum. That's at 611 South Ella. And that's this coming Saturday. It's free to get in. You can check out the museum displays, and there are some unique local-themed gifts to buy there. Of course, those proceeds will help support the museum. Also on this Saturday is a pretty big one. It's the Sandpoint Waldorf School Christmas Fair, and it runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You know, tons of Christmas crafts. You've been there many times.
It's such a fun Christmas fair. It's kind of old-fashioned. You were there a lot when your son went to school. And we've been doing it for 24 years.
Yeah.
24th
years.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And I mean, there's all the neat handmade stuff to buy, but they have a really cool puppet show.
Beautiful.
That the little kids especially, and even big kids like mm-hmm. our age, mm-hmm. really enjoy that. So that's worth catching. That's, again, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at the Sandpoint Waldorf School.
Which is out West Pine.
Yeah, it's right
next
by the,
to the health club.
Right by the health club, SWAC. Also, Artworks Gallery is having a holiday reception at their location, 214 North 1st Avenue, from 5 to 8 p.m. And you can get a discount. And this, the Artworks Gallery is interesting. It's like a co-op local artist, so you can buy artworks that are made right here in Sandpoint.
Well, I just want to mention one more, and then I want to leave with another Bette Midler song, because I love these songs. Again, we had the food bank people in here, and tomorrow night at the Idaho Poor Authority, they will be having a fundraiser for the food bank, and that starts at 5 p.m. and goes till 8 p.m. So you can go down to the Idaho Poor Authority and support the food bank. And all of these events are on Sandpoint Online and KRFY.org. Also, the podcast of this interview today will be on our website. So you can always go there and hear that again
or pass it on to your friends.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, next week, we're going to have Susan Drumheller and Nancy Dooley from the Idaho Conservation League. They'll be updating us on the Idaho to Paris event that they'll be having at the Columbia Bank building that evening on Tuesday, December 8th. I'm sorry, at noon, Tuesday, December 8th. And it's a direct link to the United Nations Climate Summit. And we're going to hear all about it. And Gary Payton's there from Sandpoint.
Yeah, local guy, Gary mm-hmm. Payton from mm-hmm. Sandpoint is at the Climate Summit. So he'll be able to give us his impressions of what's going on.
So a lot going on. And this Thursday, Jack and Diane's guest will be Cameron Murray from the Bonner Community Historic Society, County Historic Society. And she'll be sharing Jewish holiday traditions. And right now we're going to say goodbye.
All right.
Goodbye. And we're going to have a great day. And this is Bette Midler, whose birthday it is. Happy birthday. You Can't Hurry Love. Have a great day.
Right. Bye now.